RP's very first training time as a group of prayer partners. I am honored and thrilled to gather with you today. Some of you are here in the sanctuary with me, and for that I am so encouraged. Others of you are joining by live stream, and still others of you may be listening to this audio recording through a podcast that's now available on our website. So whether you're here in person, whether you're watching at home right now, or whether you'll be listening in a little bit later to this podcast, we welcome you to Parkview's Prayer Partners Tuesday Training. I think that's what we're going to call it, Tuesday Training Time. And I thought this morning, as we get started, there's some things that would help us. I promised that we would have some training. That was key, and we will do so. But before we start our training time, I think it's good to just once again define who we are and what is our purpose and why are we doing this. And so let's just take a moment and let's do that together, shall we? We're calling ourselves Parkview Prayer Partners, and we have a purpose, and that is to intercede or to pray to God for three primary areas, and that includes, number one, your pastor or church leadership, number two, your church family, and number three, lost souls. So those are the prayer focus that we have as a group of people. We have a reason for doing this, and it's rooted in the scriptures. And if you receive one of our bookmarks in last Sunday's prayer retreat, you may remember that on the bottom of that bookmark, on the green side, there is a scripture, and this is the premise of the Parkview purpose. It says in Job 16, verse 21, "Oh, that one might plead for a man with God, as a man pleads for his neighbor." I think that statement, voiced long ago by Job, captures the essence of who we as Parkview Prayer Partners are. We are called to plead with our God. That's what intercession is. We go to God and plead for someone besides ourselves. And as we plead, we make intercession. We live prayers. We do so for our leaders. We do so for our family, our church family, and we do so for lost souls. So if you wanted to try and get to the essence of who we are and why we are, there it is. So as we think about our identity and about our purpose and about our scriptural premise, I think that's important that we grasp that and understand that. Also, as prayer partners, we are united by a common belief. We believe in the Parkview prayer principle that we identified last Sunday in our prayer retreat. If you remember that prayer principle, it's a simple but powerful two statements. When we work, we work. And when we pray, God works. You see, we believe that's true. And if you were here at Sunday's prayer retreat, you were reminded that that is a principle that has been proven true throughout the scriptures. It's been proven true in history. It's been proven true in the story of the church throughout the ages. And it's even been proven true in our own personal experiences, as many of you may recall when Stephen and Don Turner stood here on this platform last Sunday afternoon. They shared how God had moved in response to the prayers of God's people here in this church family on behalf of their two sons, Austin and Matthew. And so this prayer principle is our driving and a very strong united as we gather together week by week. And so this morning, what I promised that we would do after this was to provide some prayer training. I believe if we're going to have a prayer life, we're going to have to do some training. You know, a lot of the people in our congregation are training themselves physically. They get up, they go to the gym, they work out. Others have a regimen of taking walks, and they use those walks or those runs to get themselves trained and conditioned physically. Well, what we're going to do in these Tuesday training times is we're going to train ourselves spiritually in the discipline of prayer. You know, we won't get stronger physically if we don't work out, right? We won't get stronger prayerfully if we don't work out with prayer and train in prayer. So this morning, we will begin a training regimen. And that will include some instruction from the scripture, but it will also include, for those who are here in person this morning, an opportunity for us to actually pray together. Because there's nothing like praying that helps us learn how to pray better. And so, why don't we get started as we think about the training? I want us to consider this topic, and we may take a couple weeks to actually cover this entire topic, but I want us to think together about how we need to be recognizing the personal prayer killers that have a tendency to creep into our lives. And if you're a note taker, you can just jot this down. Prayer killers. How do I recognize the prayer killers that want to take away from my prayer relationship with the Lord? I've got 10 prayer killers that I want to lift up and identify for you. There's no way we can cover all of those this morning, but we will begin. And so if you're ready, by the way, I hope you have a scripture with you. There are Bibles in the hymnal racks, and always I encourage everyone to bring your Bible to these Tuesday trainings. And whether you're listening by podcast or watching live stream, we hope that you'll take time to look these scriptures up as we go along. But to get us started on this idea of prayer killers, I want us to first take an example from real life that's not in the arena of prayer. It's just in the arena of everyday living, but it will introduce this concept. How many of you have ever gone out to your vehicle and you've gotten your car keys and you found the key and you put it in the ignition of your vehicle and you turn the key and nothing happened? Maybe you heard a click, but that's it. That's not a very good feeling, is it? You've got a car, you've got a motor, all of that horsepower is there. The fuel tank is full, and that vehicle is designed to unleash lots of power so that you can be transporting yourself and those you care about from one place to another. But somehow, there are those times when you turn the key and nothing happens. There's no power in that vehicle. Well, if you are experienced with vehicles, or if you are a mechanic, what's the first thing that you're going to do in response to that scenario? I see Mr. Wayne out there. I know what he would do. He would go out and he would lift the hood on that truck and he would look at his battery. And he would check where those cables from the motor attached to the two poles of that battery. And you know what he'd be looking for? He'd be looking for corrosion on those battery posts. Somehow, battery posts and where they have a connection with the cables, they can develop this gunk, is what I call it. It's corrosion. And that corrosion can actually interrupt the flow of electricity and power between the battery and the starter. And so no matter how long you turn that key, if there's corrosion that's interrupting the flow of power from the battery to the starter, your vehicle's not going to start, is it? So, I know Mr. Wayne also has something in his pocket. He has a pocket knife. And he's going to get that cable, and he's going to work it free from that battery post. And all of that gunk and all of that corrosion, he's going to just take that knife, and he's going to knock that corrosion off. And he's going to scrape that terminal on that battery post until it's shiny metal. The metal on the post shines because the corrosion is gone. The metal on the cable connector shines because the corrosion has been scraped clean. And when he puts that back on the post and goes back into his vehicle and he gets that key out of his pocket and he puts that key in the ignition, 9 times out of 10, unless it's some other issue with the vehicle, when he turns that key, the power flows, the vehicle cranks, and he's on his way. Y'all, that is a perfect example of our prayer lives, if you stop to think about it. We have this incredible power available to all of us as followers of Christ. A relationship where we can communicate with the God with whom nothing is impossible. His power is limitless. But sometimes there can be this gunk, this corrosion of our souls, this interruption of the prayer power that flows from God to us. And these things that can interrupt our prayer connection with God and interrupt the flow of power between us and our communication with our Heavenly Father, these are what I like to call prayer killers. They're like the corrosion on the cable or the post of your battery. They interrupt the flow of power. Prayer power is what we're talking about now. And so what I want to do is to identify for you, starting this morning, some prayer killers, personal prayer killers. We need to recognize what they are, and we need to be able to address them in our lives. The number one prayer killer in a believer's life is unconfessed sin. Unconfessed sin. You see, there are some scriptures that I want us to think about this morning. One of them, I don't have to look at my notes. My mother taught me this long ago. She taught and drilled into my mind a particular scripture in Psalm 66:18. It says, and I'm going to probably quote the King James. You may see New International, but the point is the same. It says in Psalm 66:18, if I regard iniquity, that's a word for sin. If I regard sin or iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. That's an interruption to the connection between me and God. If I regard iniquity, if I cherish my sin, if I hold on to my sin, and I'm unwilling to admit that it's wrong or admit that it needs to leave my life, that will interrupt the prayer power in my relationship with God. I'm going to read it from the NIV as well. If I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But God has surely listened and has heard my prayer. Does that make sense? Unconfessed sin, sin that is hidden in our hearts, and we will not come clean with God about it, we will not admit it to God, that will stop the prayer flow between us and our Heavenly Father. There is another scripture in Isaiah chapter 59, verses 1 and 2. And I hope that you will jot these down. I'm going to look it up in my scripture as well here. In Isaiah 59, 1 and 2, This is a statement that to me also illustrates the same point of unconfessed sin being a prayer killer. It says, and I quote, "Surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, nor his ear too dull to hear. But your iniquities," there's that word iniquities, that's a key word, that means sin. "Your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear." Does that make sense? Same principle. When there is sin in our lives, and sin is when we do what we know God says is wrong, and we continue to do it. Or sin is not doing what we know God wants us to do, and we continue to not do it. When that condition exists and is not dealt with in our hearts, why, it interrupts the prayer power that God wants his people to have. And so each of these scriptures has that common thread of truth. Unconfessed sin blocks our prayers and renders them powerless. So what is our solution to that problem? How can we get the prayer power flowing again between us and God? The solution is very powerful and very clear. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, I want to read to you what will get the prayer power flowing again. It will clean out the barrier, the blocker, between our prayers and our God. It says in 1 John 1, 9, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and will purify us from all unrighteousness." That is the solution to the prayer killer called unconfessed sin. What does it mean to confess our sins? We need to understand that. Because if that's the key, confession, we need to understand what it means. To confess our sins is to admit our sins to God. We have to say to God, "God, I have sinned and I am wrong. And I need your forgiveness." Not only do we need to admit our sin is wrong to God, but then we must ask God to help us turn away from that sin and put it in the rearview mirror of our lives. There's another scripture that Mom beat into my head, and I don't have it on the screen for you this morning, but I think it's probably Proverbs 28:13. I'm hazarding a guess, but here's what it says in essence, okay? "Whoever hides his sin will not prosper. But whoever confesses and forsakes his sin will find mercy." I'm going to go there and see if I got my reference point right. Did anybody already go to it? I probably have it wrong. It may be 23 something. But here's the point. It's 28:13. Mama taught me right. "He who conceals his sins does not prosper, but whoever confesses and renounces them finds mercy." There's the solution to our prayer cure called unconfessed sin. So one of the first things that we all need to do in our day-to-day prayer life is be listening for the voice of God's Spirit. You know, he has a way of bringing to mind if there's something in our hearts that shouldn't be there. If there's a behavior in our lives that is not pleasing to him, he has what we call a voice of the Holy Spirit. And the job of the Holy Spirit, that inner voice in us, will speak and say, "You know, you need to get this straight with God." Have any of y'all ever felt that voice? I know I have. And when he starts speaking, he is relentless. "I cannot find peace until I deal with it." And that's the way the Holy Spirit is. It's called old-fashioned conviction. And when we hear that voice and we confess our sin and ask for the power of the Spirit to help us turn from our sin, that sin is gone. It says if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And He cleanses us from all unrighteousness. The sin's gone. The guilt's gone. The peace returns. And the prayer connection and the prayer power flows. Wow. I just covered one. And it's 20 after. You know what? We're not going to have time to get a lot further today. It may be a few weeks before we cover them all. But I'll put it like this. I think what we have established today is our identity as prayer partners. We are people who are committed to intercede or pray for others, in particular lost souls, our church family, and our church leadership, including your pastor. I need your prayers. We have a theme, a verse that says, oh, that one might plead for a man with God as a man pleads for his neighbor. And we are gripped by the belief that when we work, but when we pray, God works. So, if you are watching my live stream, or if you're listening to this podcast, in just a few moments, we're going to wrap this up. But before we do, I would like to identify some prayer priorities for us as prayer partners here at Parkview. Okay? By the way, can I share one bit of good news? We had 80, this is a gratitude for your prayers. We had 81 people commit to be Parkview prayer partners in last Sunday's prayer retreat. Is that not awesome? We have people that have committed to the prayer training. We have people that have committed to intercede or pray for our church family, for lost souls, and for the pastor. And we will be participating in biannual prayer retreats. So God is moving, and we're going to do these things together. Because when we work, and when we pray together as leader and people, God works. Back to our prayer priorities for this week. The first prayer priority, if you're looking at this box, you know from Sunday's retreat that this is our prayer box at Parkview. It's locked, and inside are cards, confidential cards. On those cards are written names of unsaved people or people who need spiritual renewal. These people are known only to the persons who wrote those names there and to your pastor and to my prayer assistant, Helen Duran. We will leave these cards in this box, and every week when we meet for prayer training, we're going to pray over the prayer box. And we're going to ask God to move in the lives of these people who we want to see come to know Christ as their Savior and Lord. We're going to pray for these people who we want Christ to reach into their hearts and renew that flame and that spirit that once burned brightly for Jesus Christ. At the end of the year, we are going to open this box, and Helen and I will look at the prayer cards, and we will know, as we relate to different ones of you, whether or not God has answered prayer. And if He has, we will celebrate His answer to those prayers. So today, I ask you, as you look at this box, whether you're in person or live stream, I ask you to pray for the lost. That needs to be our number one priority. I believe that if we pray for that, we're praying for the most important need that exists. We have many needs, and they're all important. None of them are unimportant. But the priority prayer request that I'm asking you to pray for is unsaved people. Second, I'm asking you to pray for your church family. Pray your church family. And I'm going to identify three families that are in particular need this morning. They're not all the people that have needs, but they're families that have particular needs. All right? Number one, the family of Tammy Merchant. Tammy has passed away. Her family is grieving. Let's pray for the Merchant family. Number two, okay, the Pickens family. Garrett and Jennifer Pickens have given birth to a child. And Helen, I've been so wrapped up. Give me the details. Eva, give us the details of your new great-grandchild.
She weighs
8 pounds, 14 ounces, doing well. 8 pounds,
14
ounces, doing well, and her name is?
Mary Kate
Pickens. Let's pray for Mary.
Lily
Kate? Okay, Lily Kate Pickens. Let's pray for Lily Kate and her family. A new life is not only a joy, but it's a responsibility to pray for that family, the mother, and the father. Number three, I want us to pray for a prayer warrior in this church who would be seated in this room if she were healthy enough to. And her name is Bernice Rutledge. Bernice Rutledge is struggling physically, and she is discouraged emotionally. She has a huge faith, a ferocious prayer life, but Bernice is weak in body, and she has been unable to come to this church, and she always comes. This church is her family. She is like one of the ladies in the book of Luke, Anna, who lived at the temple, who came and made the temple family her family. This is Bernice Rutledge. I'm asking our prayer partners, all 81 of us, let's get on our knees and let's pray for this lady. Let's ask God to lift her spirit, and if it's His will, to heal her body so she can be back with us in prayer. There are many unspoken prayers for our other families, but these are three that I'd like to lift up as we pray together today. The Merchant family, the Pickens family, and also Bernice Rutledge. Finally, we talked about praying for lost souls. We talked about praying for our church family. I'm asking you to pray for your pastor. I don't like to put myself out there like that, but here's what I know. I'm going to do a better job if I know God's people are praying for me. And I need His wisdom, and I need His strength, and I need His courage. And I know we have a wonderful relationship, and I value it so. And so I ask, if you would, please pray for me. I want to give a praise to the Lord and a thank you as you think about Lori and I this morning. Lori hit a deer on the way to work. The good news is Lori is completely okay. The bad news is that our Toyota Highlander isn't okay. But it can be fixed. That's what insurance is for. But I thank God that He was protecting my bride when she had this encounter with that deer on the highway going into work this morning. I'm asking you to keep her in your prayers too, that her spirit will settle. It rattled her, and of course it rattled me. You should have seen me this morning out on Highway 16 in my pajamas. My hair was going everywhere, and I was trying to call wreckers and trying to get her to school, and then I was about to run out of gas. It was crazy, but God was gracious. I made it here today by the skin of my teeth, and we're having our prayer training this morning. And so for those of you who are live streamed, and for those of you who are podcast, thank you for joining us this morning. We hope and pray that God will be with you in the days to come. And I'm going to lead us in a prayer. May we pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for my prayer partners. For those who are here in person, here live streamed, and listening on podcast, I ask, dear Father, that you will help us to grow in our prayer lives. I thank you for your many blessings. I thank you, Father, for the people that you placed on our hearts that don't know you yet or may have drifted from you. I thank you that you put their names on our hearts and they're in this box and we pray for them today. I thank you also for our prayer family, our entire Parkview family. I thank you for the Merchant family and I ask your comfort for them. I thank you for the Pickens family and I rejoice in the birth of this little girl. And I ask God that you would be with her and give her health and strength and give Jennifer healing as she recuperates. And I thank you for Ms. Bernice Rutledge and I join with my prayer partners and ask you that your grace, your healing grace, would rest on her today. And so till we meet again for the next training, Lord, be with us. And we pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. And all of God's people said, Amen. See you next time, live streamers.